Okay, so we have got a lot going on. You know, what do you want to? You know, I definitely want to get to. I want to get to Dark Side of the Moon, China stuff. So
yeah,
I mean, I should we just go ahead and just get that out of the way? You know, or sure. You know, spend 5 billion years or whatever on that. There's so many other things. You know, Musk and
there's so much.
And Blue Origin. I mean, it's you know, here we go.
Yeah.
All right, so you got a list, or you want to start with something? What do you want to do?
Well, the moon thing is a good place to start, but there's also another moon story, is Space IL. They're the only surviving lunar XPRIZE team that's actually going to land. I mean,
the Israeli guys?
Done, but they're Israeli.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're going off on a SpaceX rocket. I'm just looking up the date, the current scheduled target, but it's going to be like next month. They're going to be at the moon if all goes well.
Really? So they're just are they secondary cargo, or are they taking a whole thing, or what?
Yes, they're on a secondary cargo, I believe, to geosynchronous, and then from there they're going to the SpaceX rocket's going to drop off their other cargo and then fire the second stage one more time to get them to the moon. That's I'm just verifying that, but I think that's what's happening.
That is, man, this is the freaking year. You know, I've been, on everything. We've been doing, you know, we've been having a lot of fun with pirates, and we're doing a big launch the weekend of 19th and 20th. And I was talking to Paul Rosenberg. He's, from Crypto Hippie from back in the day, and has a business that I've been interviewing. He's a, you know, philosopher. He has a really popular newsletter and so on. We have him on a regular basis. And I'm like, all right, it's time. I need my pirate communications. You know, I mean, the hailing frequency is invisible to the freaking crown. And where it comes down to is it's finally going to get to, you know, yeah, but do you have your ones and zero permission slip? You know, did you have your ID, your computer ID? Are you allowed to, you know? And then I go, yeah, screw it, man. I just put a satellite dish on. I got my own mesh network of satellite instead of me driving by the cell phone towers or driving by me. I mean, you know, and we're done. So, you know, it's encrypted. So suck it. So this is, and then, all right, I know what I want to start off with. Let me pull it up here. We start in 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Undefeared here on Declare. You're independent from here in Sackcock here in Phoenix, episode 98 from the VEA full studios of Freedom's Little Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, yeah. I am so excited today. Got to talk with Paul Rosenberg about, you know, privacy of, and we're kind of pirate communication, and here we go. And then our good friend, Michael Belfore. Let me tell you a little bit about Michael. Michael. Where's this pretty picture? There he is. Okay. Michael Belfore is an author and journalist reporting on the technological innovations shaping our world. He's been publishing a big, giant, long list of all kinds of different places. He says all kinds of stuff, and he's going, we're going to do it right here. Because he has been following, I knew him from, here we go. Rocketeers, right there. You know, I go Belfore, the private space race, and we're going to get, and he's been following this. I found that book like a couple of years after he had written it, and I'm like, what the hell, man? This is, oh, you can tell me every little old thing. You know the guys inside. That's awesome. But he's also written other books on science and technology and DARPA and robotics and on and on and on and on. But space, you know, that has his interest. Now, this is what I wanted to talk to you about. This is Michael Belfore. Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Belfore, B-E-L-F-I-O-R-E.com. MichaelBelfore.com. You know, and he does, you know, writing, you know, for tech companies and stuff. So robotlotus.com, you can get him that way too. All right. Now, this is what's going on. I'm going to show this. FCC fines startup for launching satellites without permission. They didn't have permission. They went to the FCC and they said, hey, we're going to launch. And they go, nah, maybe not. They go, screw you. They went to India and launched it anyway. Bite me. But what was their mistake? Nevada Corporation with an address in California and the FCC, you know what? We're going to need $900,000 and you sign and say in a statement of you sorry. Or we'll, like, be mad, okay? So I'm going, so then that instance right there where they just did it and said, suck it, and they can go some other country or whatever, what is the future now? And because he said in the article, hey, we're just trying to make sure we scare enough people that they get their permission slip. Permission slips be a coming, or are they more giving out permissions? It's like a shall issue concealed carry kind of thing, the right to keep and bear ICBMs. So I just need to know what the future is after this instance. Help me out there, Michael.
You know, it's just, this is just the reality of regulation in this country. If you're doing business here, you're going to have to play by those rules. You know, it is unfortunate, but this is where this activity is mostly happening in the world. It's happening here for a reason. Private launch and private satellites and all those things.
What do you mean here? You mean the United States?
In the United States, yeah. We're still the place where most of this activity is happening. It is changing. There's a company in New Zealand, but they also have a California address too. So I don't know what their main Rocket Labs, though. There's another great company to watch. I mean, these are just blips along the way. For the most part, the government has been an asset. I know it doesn't seem like that in this country, but NASA is providing launch contracts to places like SpaceX, Blue Origin, Virgin Galactic. They're all getting sign-ups from the government to help fund their launch activities. That's one of the reasons why these companies are so prevalent in the United States and why they struggle in other places, besides the fact of the talent here and the history and all that stuff.
Yeah, so this week.
There are drawbacks to regulation and government, but there's also a plus side too.
Which is, you know, I can understand, like Elon Musk, man, if NASA didn't come to, you know, their rescue with a contract after they were able to get a, you know, Merlin gone. Third time's a charm, I think. And,
right.
And without that, there might have been not been a SpaceX, but there would have been a space something. So my thing is that, you know, I'm glad things are going well. I'm just not, you know, NASA, you know, give me the net benefit that they got. Is there a net benefit or is there too much control? If they were out of the way, they wouldn't be looking for permission from the government and they'd just be doing it. I mean, what do you think?
I think it's absolutely a benefit. I mean, SpaceX got to where it is now from, it was the DARPA contract for those first early launches. So it was government, not NASA, but then they got contracts to supply the space station for commercial cargo. That really helped to get their orbital program off the ground. And now the latest schedule has them launching the first crew capsule into orbit next month. And that's, again, on a NASA contract.
Wait. With crew in it or just a capsule for testing?
Yeah, just a test.
Okay.
Just a test. But could be as soon as April, maybe May, they'll actually start flying crew. So this year could be the year that Americans go back to orbit on American spaceships.
Well, how the hell are we getting the space station now?
The Russians.
What?
All the Russians. These guys who have been doing all kinds of nefarious stuff over here.
Putin, can we hitch a ride?
Right. It's just humiliating. they want to, so it just to slap the U.S. government in the face, Russia tried to send the head of Roscosmos, their space agency.
Oh, he froze up. You there?
And this.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, you froze up a little bit there. Go ahead. And you say he just tried to send what?
Yeah, tried to send, or wanted to send the head of Roscosmos to the U.S. to give a speech in Texas. The problem is this guy's really in Putin's pocket, and he's on the list of sanctioned people who aren't supposed to be getting any U.S. benefit. So it's just kind of, that's the kind of disconnect we're seeing. Like, they want to sanction the Russians for all kinds of nefarious things. At the same time, we depend on them to get people. So the point is, we've now got two companies, not just SpaceX, but Boeing also has got a commercial contract with NASA to start sending people to the station. It'll be the first time that we have orbital spaceships launching from U.S. soil, two different designs. That's
okay,
never
now
happened.
Are they in competition, or is it we're having one and another backup, and Boeing cost, you know, 10 times SpaceX? I mean, what's the landscape?
It's from SpaceX's point of view, I would think that they would consider them competition. From NASA's point of view, it's two providers, two sources. One is backing up the other.
Okay, so they're not just going to pick one and the other one goes away.
Exactly. So we got two redundant systems, two completely different systems, two launch vehicles, two capsules.
Nah, he froze up again. Start waving when you can hear. Can you hear me? What we're going to do when we go into the break here in a little bit, we'll probably try a reconnect, you know, so that we can get this taken care of. I see him moving a little bit. Can you hear me, Michael?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I know. We might just go to graphics and take off the, you know, let's do that. Can you turn off your video?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. Cause I got, we got pretty pictures of you anyway. So we'll go ahead and do this. And we go to that. Boom. There we go.
How's that? Can you still hear me?
Yeah. No, now we got pretty pictures of your books and stuff. That's easy. Yeah, we're pimping
right.
out. Okay, now, the launches that are coming up, the what are they calling it now? Spaceship, Starship, Starliner, Dream, something? BFR, whatever. When we come back, we'll get right to that. Because, they just go, hey, man, we'll just put it together. Oh, yeah, we did it overnight. It's together because we... You know, you had your government shut down, so we just put a bunch of guys over here, and we weren't going to pay them to sit on their hands. So while we were waiting on you, we built a spaceship! Oh, just by the way, when you weren't looking. And then there's a bunch of other stuff coming. Michael Belfore, and the CES in Vegas.
From the first letter of Captain Mark. History is full of flowery documents claiming to limit the power of the crown, but these poetic social contracts have been impotent to prevent the predation. Limited government is a lie they use to keep us submissive. The crown cannot be trusted to abide by its founding charters, nor its treaties, nor even its own rules. The essence of the crown is centralized violence, and I've had enough. That's why I raised my black banner. I am no revolutionary. My aim is not to reset the cycle of violence, but to break it. My aim is an evolved society, invisible to the crown. Not a new hierarchy, but decentralized networks with no central figure for the crown to target. If you want your servile life, keep it. But we will not submit to the crown's agenda. And when you are ready to stop being its beast of burden, ready for adventure and opportunity, join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
Is spreading.
Okay, Michael, the smart Space BEE, the satellite company, how are they viewed in the industry? Are they like, good, you got them there, play by the rules too, you sons of bitches, you know? Or is it like, yeah, they caught you, we're wishing you well, but, you know, what's the attitude?
Yeah, I think it's just like sort of business as usual, you know, you've got to play by the rules to get the benefits of launching from here and potential
what benefits? What are you
things.
Talking of benefits?
Well, we still have ITAR. It's the restriction and exports of rockets.
Yeah, only certain people get to keep and bear ICBMs.
Sure, that's right. So that helps open you up for contracts from all kinds of different government agencies, NASA, Defense Department, things like that. So I think there is a net gain here.
I don't think Space B was give a crap. They needed some robot. They needed some satellite coverage up their internet of whatever crap they were doing.
Yeah.
And they go, your business is out and you're done and you're have nothing. Your investors are going to, we're not giving you permission. So suck it and get out of the line. And they go, you know what? Screw you. They went ahead and did it anyway. And somebody's going to complain. I'm going,
sure.
Right on. Tell them to kiss off or move your company to Barbados or Venezuela or something. They can suck it. Now
that's
what?
Right. Well, they obviously made the calculation that, well, it's not to our advantage to do that. So, you know, they're just moving forward.
Okay, but you see my point, though. It's going to be the next guy to go benefit. Yes. Oh, sure as shit wouldn't benefit them when they said no. I guarantee you that.
Right. Yeah. No, you got a point. Definitely got a point.
So, my point is that it's not, we're going to do this same old regulatory buggy whip kind of mentality of you got to get a permission slip to whatever, and they're just going to stop coming here. They're going to go, what, you know, China doesn't have enough land somewhere?
Sure.
You know, China, got a Texas someplace? I mean, come on.
I think the concern is bandwidth. This back, you know, it's going to get all these satellites going up now. This is just going to keep accelerating.
Oh, it's darn.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's a great thing. But if they're all, just as they do on Earth, the FCC wants to try to control bandwidth so that we don't have people overlapping.
That was not their concern. It was something like, we're not confident that your ability to track to be other small than the cat. And they go,
they're just flexing their muscle for its own sake.
This is exactly what I'm against. Exactly what keeps the space race from going into private hands. Exactly what curtails the development and innovation. This is it. And when I saw them, they just said, suck it and win. I'm like, freaking right on. You know? So now it's now the government wants to be relevant. No, well, 900,000. We'll give you a permit next time. I'm just wondering what the attitude is. We'll find out. Here we go.
LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, we're back with Michael Belfore. You know, this is, being in America, has its advantages. You got a lot of people that want to be here and work right up until they don't. They'll just go, we're over here now. It just so suck it. I'm tired. I'm just tired. I'm tired. So I'm going to go over here and work with and so on. And this happened many times before. What do you think paperclip was? And all of a sudden, the Nazi scientists, they go, are we going to go Russia or America? Which one are we going to do? Who's going to be? Then they come over and they go, they're not letting us do it. We'll go over this country. We'll go do that country. Then assassinations start and everything and controlled and you're not allowed. And then you're on the dark net and it's secret. And all of a sudden some, rising telephone pole out of the volcano lair of Dr. Evil. And he's not so evil. And he's just got a couple satellites and he's got and frees everybody. Oh, yeah, and takes out that asteroid that's going to kill us. We are the antibody for Gaia. Human beings are not a plague. We're the cure of us not having an extinction event again. You're welcome. This is, let's talk about SpaceX. Tell me where we are there.
SpaceX is the place for space innovation. I mean, there are a lot of other companies doing stuff, really cool stuff, and that's amazing and everything. But SpaceX is really the clear leader. They've got relaunch technologies. The only ones who can launch a booster and bring it back safely, refuel and fly again. No one else has that capability. I mean, you can argue Virgin Galactic, they've got the carrier aircraft that serves the same function, but this is really a whole different level. I mean, this is science fiction stuff coming true. Just what makes it amazing is a rocket landing on this tail of flame as God and Robert Heinlein intended, as some people say, for rockets. But it's not just for looks. It's not just, to be cool. It's giving them the ability to undercut the rest of the launch market. So SpaceX is now really close to, or actually has even surpassing, as we speak, the record for most launches for any one entity in the world. And it's just going to keep accelerating. They're just cranking out rockets and engines. So that's allowing them to fund, along with the contracts they have from government, from NASA, from launch companies all over the world, to further long-term development of technologies to get people to Mars. And that's always been Elon Musk's vision. everything he's doing is in service of that. So the next step now is to start sending people into orbit, which will happen this year if all goes well. They've got a contract with NASA to do that, so they're their main customer right now, help funding that activity. But they're going to launch the first test vehicle. Now they're saying next month. The schedule originally had them end of last year. You know how it is. Things get pushed out. But now they're saying February for launching the first Crew Dragon. It's going to be an unmanned test, but that'll be followed by actual commercial private astronauts on a private space flight.
You know, I haven't seen the Super 7 or whatever it was for the Mercury and Apollo, and they kind of made a big woohoo. I haven't seen on the Wheaties box, cereal box of the private astronauts of who's picked. You know, what do we know?
Yeah, we had an announcement a few months ago, and if you just search commercial astronauts, NASA.
Yeah.
And they announced at the same time those that are going to fly on the Crew Dragon along with the Starliner, which is the Boeing spacecraft that's also going to launch this year. So this is like the original seven Mercury astronauts, or, you know, the next nine that started training to go to the moon back in the 60s. It's that kind of level of commercial astronauts. Now there's going to be a fleet of vehicles which will be reused, which is also tremendous. All this will drive down costs. We'll get more and more astronauts. Then we'll have, once we have these anchor tenant activities in place from NASA, then we'll start seeing more commercial activity.
Yeah, but look at this. This is the headline. It says, these are the astronauts NASA assigned for SpaceX and Boeing to launch the first crews from the U.S. since 2011. So we got NASA assigned astronauts. Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, look, any government agency that's funding an activity likes to claim full credit for that. The truth is a little more nuanced. These are people that have been hired by these separate companies that have been training with NASA. And there's some bit of a permeable layer between NASA and these entities. As astronauts retire, now they have places to go.
I know
NASA.
this just never goes well. It could be clean and simple, and we got it, but no, it's going to be political. What if one of these guys, violated someone's self-esteem online for being something? You know, they're screwed, man. You know.
Sure.
You can't send a bigot up in space. He's not, metrosexual, doesn't drink soy milk or something. I'm just, this is going to, it's not going to go well. They better shut the hell up or I'm going.
Well, the point is we have a government entity paying billions of dollars to help fund these commercial developments.
Yeah.
In the case of Boeing, look, I don't want to say things bad about people working at Boeing, but Boeing itself as a company is sort of a government hack. They'll just do whatever government tells them. They'll take contracts to do exactly to the letter what their contract tells them to do. But they will follow along as everyone else does. They're going to follow SpaceX's lead because no one is going to be able to compete with reusable launch vehicles if you have throwaway launch vehicles. So SpaceX is moving the bar forward, and they're also using their funding not just to fulfill contracts, but to fund their own development. And that's what makes them truly exciting and visionary. They're right now testing a hopper. They're getting ready to test out in Texas in their launch test area, a hopper that's going to test the first, basically, Astroliner, space liner, capable of carrying 100 people into orbit and beyond. They're starting to test the technologies. This is what they did for the reusable launch vehicles that they're using now. First, they tested these hoppers to make sure they got everything right. The engines are firing right.
Yeah, no, I remember it's called Grasshopper, and you got this big giant first stage go up and down. They put a mannequin on it. And he's like, hey, man, what's up? I'm Johnny Cash. I was like, wow. Okay, real quick before we hit the break as we go in, Vector. Now, we know Jim Cantrell. We've went and interviewed him, and I know his son, and we hang at different Freedom Festivals. Jim, I just saw him this fall at a thing. And all of a sudden, my neighbor across the street is in his 30s. He's got it going on guy, knows how to whatever. And all of a sudden, he goes, hey, just a couple weeks ago, he goes, do you know Jim Cantrell? And I go, yeah, I know if he'll take my call. I mean, I, you know, interview, yeah, what's up? And he goes, I work for him now. And I go, really? Mariana, you know, north of Tucson, they have a propulsion testing. He's there doing the launches or the propulsion testing on different things. And I'm going, oh, how do you get down? He drives down there and stays in a home during the week and comes back on the weekend to see how this thing's going to play out. And I'm going, really? So, Michael, we got a guy inside, man. Eh? Eh? Well, this is happening. He goes, yeah, he's giving a speech and he mentioned your name. I go, how many Ernie Hancocks are there? So, boom, it's happening right in front of our eyes.
On Free Talk.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. He goes, do you know? He goes, yeah, I was watching a video, when I got, going for the job, doing some research out, and I'm like, damn, how many Ernies are there, And I go, yeah. So we got a little inside. He probably don't want to tell me too much. You have to kill me or something. But he said they are very secretive. They're proprietary kind of, man. Everybody be quiet. But they got another round of funding. I think it was, I heard, like $60 million. They're not short of cash right now. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So these small satellite orbit launching thing, what do you know about those?
They're popping up like mushrooms, which is great. Rocket Labs has been launching commercial payloads now out of a site in New Zealand. They're probably the farthest along of these small satellite launchers, but they're just going to keep coming. Because once you get affordable launch and small enough satellites, you got all kinds of services you can provide up there. You can do Bitcoin or cryptocurrency mining up there, whatever you want, cloud storage, cable, internet, whatever you want. Now smaller companies can have access to space-based data and imagery. And
you go to Vector Launch Systems right now, they got an animation of the, I've seen this rig, the trailer rig. It's like, that's where that came from. They're going down the streets of Tucson pulling this ICBM. Yeah. And we got the right to keep an ICBM, okay? And I'm like, damn. So it just pops up, boom, they launch it from anywhere. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's really good news about the funding. I mean, this stuff's just going to keep happening. And what it's doing is creating an infrastructure of space technologies. Soon you'll be able to have off-the-shelf rockets, off-the-shelf turbopumps, whatever it is. The cost of everything is going to go way down. All kinds of new activities are going to be possible. And with SpaceX right now leading the way, we're going to start sending people into space in large numbers, and there's no telling where that can go.
Well, Vector, they're doing, as I remember the interviews and so on, it was the gas pressurization is from the heating of the gas, started with the pressure of the, they're not using turbopumps. And
that's the thing. Yeah, a lot of people are moving away from that technology, finding new ways to, pressurize propellants instead of, turbopumps are really expensive. There's a guy you should have on. I'll send you the contact info. He's got a really small garage rocket operation, doing really cool, interesting stuff. I'll send you his info. I'm sure he'd love to come on.
Donna, send Michael a reminder right now for the new guy he said of, and bug the living crap out of him until he sends it.
But the point is, you can do these things as a garage rocket science basis now, and it's just going to keep accelerating. You're going to be able to go down to the equivalent of AutoZone. I mean, it's not going to be quite that easy, but, you'll be able to buy standardized off-the-parts shelves that are functional and reliable and, start putting stuff together and
Of course it's going to happen because it can happen. And who's in the freaking way? You didn't get that permit. I'm telling you, man, how long have we done this and what has been my biggest concern? They go, you came for a permission slip. We decided not to give it to you, which is exactly what happened. Exactly. Neon flash. And I told you so, Michael. And I'm going, here it is. And it's for a company just like Vector. Well, Jim, he knows the system. Right. He's from NASA. He was at SpaceX. He's kind of knows, who to, take golfing or whatever the hell he's got to do, but it's, some of these guys are not, you didn't play the game right. And I went through this before. It was when Microsoft was ignoring in Washington, they didn't have anybody on K Street, and all of a sudden they're going, hey man, a little something something for the home team here, or we're going to get you for antitrust if you're not allowed.
Right.
And I'm going, you know, these guys are just pissing me off. Here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Freaking, they go, well, you should have got a permit to be independent and go to space and stuff. You weren't allowed to leave. Oh, really? You know? Well, this is, you know, it's winners and losers, picking them. Doing, this is exactly what I'm talking about. But I think it's so overwhelming. It's so, they're just like, all right, fine, shall issue concealed carry. You know, you can get, because everybody's got a gun anyway, it doesn't matter. Oh, they're ghost gunnering. They're printing. They're 3D printing. All right, never mind. But you can't have plasma rifles, damn it. So this is, it's just coming. So, you know, the other thing, where do you think the big innovation in propulsion is coming from? Because I'm like, we're still using chemical rockets, man. We're still going to take a month to get to Mars. I mean, can't we do it over the weekend? I want to just, you know, take a day trip to the moon. What the hell is going on? You know, propulsion. Tell me what's up.
I actually did a lot of research on this, and it is depressing. Right now, chemical propulsion is the best we got. So it's going to take you months to get to Mars, years to get to the outer planets. You know, there's all kinds of schemes floated, which may or may not be real, like quantum drives. You know, someone at NASA was working on that. And, you know, I contacted him and tried to get more info. He wouldn't write me back. You know, it doesn't smell right to me.
Yeah.
You know, I think right now what we got is chemical. The only current technology that we have or that we could conceivably develop is from the 1950s, the Orion project, which I'm sure you know about, and maybe some of your listeners have.
Yeah.
You can actually go on YouTube, look up, you can see test footage of this crazy concept, which involves throwing nuclear bombs out the back end of a spacecraft, and then the shockwave pushes the thing forward, and it sounds nuts, but they demonstrated in tests that all the principles behind it could work. There's nothing wrong with it. You could get to Mars in a matter of weeks with something like that, but no one is ever going to fund that.
Yeah, they had like a shock absorber, and it kind of like, you know, boom, and then push, and boom, and then push, and boom, and I'm going,
yeah,
I'm thinking we could come up with probably something better than that. And, you know, and then it's radioactive too. What kind of shielding you got to use? So I'm just going...
cloud of destruction behind you.
Yeah, environmentalists are, we're going to space and we're taking our, you know, Fukushima nuclear waste with us. I mean, you know, I'm,
that's right.
I'm like, I don't think that's going to flush. I'm not
holding
my breath.
That's all we got right now, as far as I can tell, that we could actually develop, put together. I mean, fusion technology has been spoken of as a potential. It wouldn't be as powerful as that because you'd have to contain the entire reaction within the structure of the craft. And that means you're going to have to lower the energy that's being produced by it so you don't melt down your spaceship. But fusion is perpetually 20 years away. They've been saying for 50 years.
Yeah, so. I've been following a lot of it too. And I think we're going to get closer than what a lot of people think. That was one thing we can talk about. China going to the moon is helium-3. And I'm going, all right, what's the big deal here? I watch Iron Sky. I know they want the moon for the helium-3. You know, you ever see that movie Iron Sky?
I haven't seen that. No,
Nazis on the dark side of the moon! Okay, yeah, no. Iron Sky. It was an internet thing, Indiegogo funded. Now they're doing the second one that's coming out this year.
It's a new one.
Yeah, it'll be a second one coming out this next month. But Iron Sky, just look it up, IMDb, okay. Iron Sky. Funny, it's creative, it was done by the internet. It was filmmakers said, we're bypassing Hollywood, we're not using internet distribution, whatever. Boom! DVDs everywhere, online, sold, made crap loads of money, and bypassed the studio system, and they're freaking. And then they privately funded the next one. And it's all about, you know, the Nazis left and they went and hid out on the dark side of the moon. And then they're going there and they find helium-3 and that's how they've been powering whatever. So then China goes to the dark side of the moon and landed just like last week or two. And you're going, all right, so what's the big deal on helium-3? Well, you take helium-3 and deuterium and it, you know, combines and makes helium-4, which is, all right, it's helium has two protons and two neutrons. This helium-3 has one neutron, but then the deuterium comes in and it makes its cold fusion. It doesn't get, you know, you don't have to have this big giant temperature to start the fusion process. It just does it at a very comparatively low temperature and creates enormous amounts of energy. Helium-3's on the moon. It's a product of the sun beating the surface somehow. And I don't know where the heck this gas accumulates or how they're doing it, but helium-3, woo-hoo-hoo! The only way you can get it on Earth is decaying of nuclear weapons or something, even though it exists. So now here it is in abundance, supposedly, on the moon. There goes China, U.S. saying, whoa, hell no. Can't let them, just like in the movie Iron Sky, you got to watch it. It's funny.
All right, cool. Yeah, no, but that's tremendous news. China landing on the moon this month, actually. On the significant thing there that's never been done before is landing on the backside of the moon. It's the side that always faces away from Earth. It's not actually dark. People say dark side of the moon, like Pink Floyd album. It's not actually dark, but it faces perpetually away from Earth because the moon is tidally locked with us. We never see that backside. The problem with landing there is you're out of communication with Earth. You know, people, you know, who are fans of the Apollo program, as I am, you know, remember that when the crew, every time the crew went around the backside of the moon, they lost communication with Earth. So the way China's doing this, they've got a little relay satellite, a little miniature communication satellite that went over there with the lander. They left that in orbit when they landed. Now they can relay communications back and forth, which is really cool. To my knowledge, no one's ever done that.
And they've been to, you know, well, a 12-year-old would tell you to do that. I've been saying, "Go, how come they just don't put a satellite up? I mean, what the hell? You need a 12-year-old in China to tell them to do it." So NASA's stupid.
Who actually did it? NASA didn't do that.
They're stupid.
Yeah, they're stupid.
Well, you know, it's not that they're stupid. There's a lot of good guys. The smarter guys, like Cantrell, is a good example. They just leave. They go, this environment is not, it's like the military industrial, we need to have a war to make money complex. I mean, it's just stupid in its construction. So this isn't why private space is just whipping past them, but it's good for us because other countries and other corporations and other needs and businesses are just going to beat the living crap out of us when we should be so far ahead. Now, when they did this satellite, how is it that they get away with one satellite? Is it kind of like have a polar orbit? It's always, you know, visible. What kind of, there's never a time that we don't have access to that one satellite taking the dark side of the moon signals?
I don't know the details of that. You know, if it's in some kind of, you know, position where it can see Earth and the lander at the same time, or if it's just a relay part-time. I don't know all the details.
So it's, well, I'm amazed they did it with one. I mean, you know, so we're good. Yeah. At least we get the data. Yeah. So what do you think the motivation for them doing that was? Just nah. Are they looking for something?
Yeah.
Or?
You know, it's Cold War style sort of muscle flexing, I think. As our space program in the 60s, there were a lot of engineers and scientists who are genuinely interested in doing these things and, you know, exploring and all that. But I think the motivation behind it from the government is to go, you know, to do a space first, sort of on the cheap. You know, they're not in a position yet where they can land people there. So they're going to do, okay, let's find the thing that hasn't been done before. You know, where's the hill that the Soviets and the Americans didn't climb? Let's do that one and keep going from there.
Well, we got here, they had a rover going out there. They got the base. They're taking pictures. I'm sitting here looking at, television. They're showing us that, you know, we get to see the dark side of the moon. Oh, there's a building. There's the base. You know, right there. You see it? You know, maybe you never know. And I'm going, I'm just waiting for them to go land on Apollo 11 site on the ridge and say, yeah, it's there. They did it. Woo, look, a footprint. Okay. All right. So did we go? I guess we did. Well, probably did. Then we find out. Oh, yeah. the moon's hollow and it's a space station and they've been there forever. Now you never know.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
You know, the main thing that I don't like is that NASA and America and the taxpayer and all this kind of stuff, they don't emphasize what we were trying to show the world, is that free market enterprise drives this kind of innovation. They don't say that. In fact, they do everything they can against that. When Russia was starting to charge people to be able to go to Mir, they went, "Oh, see there," or even the International Space Station, they're commercializing space, those damn capitalists. I mean, you know what the hell they're saying?
Right.
You know?
That's right. I know.
So
it was NASA saying that. NASA resisted that. You know, it was completely ironic. The former Soviets are doing capitalism better than the Americans, right?
Yeah, and that's the point. I mean, they should be embracing that and being like a partner.
Yeah.
We're happy to work with and spark innovation of, you know, we'll be only a tiniest bit, you know, socialist and communist and this, but gosh darn it, we need and work with and stuff. No, it's like you didn't get permission. You got to get a permission slip. We lay hands on. You got to wear this logo. And I'm just going, this is not going to end well, because it forces you to be a pirate. It forces you to say, I'm in this country. It forces you to launch from your ship of Bite Me. It forces you. And that's what they're forcing. I see it happening, right? I know that in the end, the government loses on this every single time at our detriment. So it's the attitude of this thing, and I know you're in the industry and you got a whatever, but I am expressing myself on this show that this attitude is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's what kept
us
here.
I agree with you. It's not monolithic, though. There are pockets of innovation within the government, people who are pushing forward, like the ones who really pushed hard to get those commercial contracts to the space station. There was huge resistance in the system against that.
You know, this is where Jim Cantrell came in. He was like, yeah, you're going to have to get all this permission. So, you know, we're better off just doing small rockets, and I don't need a contract if they can bite it, and I got plenty of people, and we'll innovate, and they'll go from there. You know, and then Elon goes, yeah, but if we do Falcon 9, we'll get some big money, and I'll get to Mars sooner. You know, peace out. Go do that. Let me know how that works out. So what did they do? They go, here it comes. Here's the small innovator. Man, they're right. It's doing it. And within 3 years, we're going to be overwhelmed with the rich people. And you don't have a permission slip. You're not allowed. And we're going to fine you. And I'm going, that's your answer? I'm in a free country now? Thank you. You know? It's just infuriating to me. And it's because it's exactly why I'm going pirate, man. Woo-hoo! This is it. All right? All right, here we go.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Can't take the sky from me and suck it. Precariat. Next. So this is, we're going to have us some fun. And I 2019 is going to be, I'm feeling it, Michael. Is 2019 it? Is this it? Are we
here? Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, because you're just looking at space. Look, we've got two, for the first time, two separate vehicle designs going to be sending Americans into orbit with, you know, that's never happened before. At the same time, we're going to have a private moon lander taking off in February. It's an Israeli built craft that was originally Google Lunar XPRIZE competitor. Now that prize has expired, but they're still surging ahead. So we're going to get to see that. The Chinese on the backside of the moon. We've got SpaceX testing their Starship, they're calling it, out in the desert now. They're going to start flying that and building up to, you know, a big, really big vehicle that could do, you know, suborbital hops, point-to-point travel on Earth. It can go to Mars. That's the plan, an all-purpose vehicle that can do all kinds of stuff like that.
You know, this Starliner deal, this is, it's Buck Rogers right out of the fit. I'm a little kid. This is it. I'm going, how come you don't do, and he goes, again, a 12-year-old. He goes, yeah, that's how you're going to do it. And that's what he did.
That's how you do it, right. This guy's a kid who's gotten, you know, amassed a big fortune, who's going, yeah, we all know this is cool stuff. We're going to do it. But he found practical ways to get it done and to fund it. And people are listening, you should follow Elon Musk's Twitter feed, because that is so damn entertaining. I mean, just the other day he was talking about how, you know, he tweeted it. Do you see this, Ernest? The picture of the DeLorean from Back to the Future that he tweeted?
No.
Saying the Tesla Roadster is going to do this. And it's showing this thing taking off the ground. Somebody writes back to him, something tells me you're not kidding. And he goes, no, I'm not.
Yeah! Of course not.
He proceeds to outline this whole scheme, how they're going to put SpaceX thrusters in the back seat. There's going to be no back seat in the Tesla Roadster. And it's going to actually fly, according to Elon Musk. I'm sure
he freaking can.
He's having fun, but he's also serious. That's the key. You know, if you don't lose that sense of wonder and childlike sense of play, and you keep going and you find practical ways to get it done, that's what you get. You get flying cars potentially. So it's just so cool. And all this stuff's coming together this year. Just watch the rocket launches. Online.
Yeah, when we launched the design of the Precariat, our pirate ship, and so I'm showing some video here now. But when we did that, a lot of you, are you really going to build that? Are you really? I'm going, of course. I mean, in your head, it's going to, somebody's doing it. They were not waiting, man. They're doing it now. Sergey Brin is doing it for Google, doing it now. Larry Page, where the hell has he been the last year or two? You know, he's out making flying cars or something. And they go, where is Larry? I don't know. He's like, you know, he's getting out of the noise, man. He's going to go do whatever heck he wants to do. You know, so there are some other innovations. Consumer Electronics Show, I didn't go this year or don't plan to go.
I didn't get there either.
It's starting now. I'm just kind of like, eh. You know, I'm just because you know the stuff outside of it is all way more interesting for me. So I'm wondering, is there some? This is making it to a commercial market. You know about some flying car that's going? I got all the flying taxi, and we're going to have Uber in the air, and they keep yakking about it. And last year, or 2 years ago, they did the EHang one, 184, that's now flying around Dubai. You know, so
Dubai, yeah, that's right.
You know, so oh, backpack races. Have you seen jetpack races?
No.
Holy crap. I see, Michael, I always got something for you, man. The jetpack racing, if you put in, let me put jetpack races, and let's see if it comes. Okay. There you go. Let's see. Races, dual jetpack race. All right. What they're doing is they're creating instead of air races with planes, they're doing air races with jetpacks.
It reminds me of the Rocket Racing League. Do you remember that?
Exactly. That's what's on your cover. Rocket Racing League. I remember that. Mm-hmm. They get innovation and speed and fueling and going low Earth orbit and the X-Wing fighter kind of, you know, get that going. Well, screw that. We're just going to have jetpack races. Of course, they're going to put a machine gun on it, you know, but jetpack racing is going on right now.
That's cool. I'm looking at this article on The Drive by my former editor at popular science. Eric Adams got a nice long piece about that.
Yeah. Here we go. You know, Jetpack Aviation prepares to launch the world's first jetpack race series. Here we go. Next step, the world's first jetpack race series starting in 2019.
Wow.
And yes, the Jetboard and Jet Suits of the
right
world.
Now. Oh, my God. Okay, so we got to look for that this year as
Hell yeah. I was like, you know, when they did the flyboard, I mean, you know, it was just a matter of, you know, how many months. Here we go, you know. So Michael, I'm pretty excited. 2019 is it, but it's not going to be some, you know, great innovation of how far and fast, and it's going to be that we're not waiting. And if they are slow to give permit, or we're not sure, and are you sure you want, and gaslight and doubt of you, well, you might, and you got to have bad, suck it, and they go to, you know, the Freedoms in Venezuela or something. I got to go to Moscow or Havana or Cuba or Detroit to be free. Yeah. It's wherever the ashes are, man.
We have the technology. I mean, meaning we, like the people. It's affordable. It's becoming more affordable all the time as someone who's dedicated enough and has some, just even a small amount of money to put into it, can build stuff in their garage. I mean, that's how SpaceX started. Started out in a guy's garage. And that was, you know, that was in 2002. The technology has gotten better and cheaper since then.
And Elon's smart enough. I wrote it on a napkin. I did the price. And aluminum costs how much? Boom, done.
That's right.
You know, this is, what do you think? Are you writing a book now? What's your next focus, what you're focusing your time on?
Yeah, well, one thing I'm really getting interested in is this whole idea of how do we stop climate change. I mean, anyone who's gone to Miami Beach lately knows that this is happening. Miami Beach is going to be underwater in just, you know, a few decades now. You just human waste floating in the streets on a regular basis now, because if the seawater is pushing it up back through the sewage system and nobody can do anything about it. So that's what's going on. So there are these projects around the world where people are sucking CO2 out of the atmosphere and finding things to do with it. So that's, to me, the kind of the next frontier of technology that needs to happen.
I tell you one thing, China is coming on with nuclear reactors one after another. They're on assembly line now. So they're going to be, you want some power? We're over here. Don't worry about it. Solar is getting cheaper in hell, electrifying everything. I think, you know, it's going to happen. I think the sun is going to decide the end result of what's going to happen anyway. But, you know, I think we'll be okay. The thing is, though, is that, I don't need like NASA telling me what I can and can't, when we got innovations that would solve it already, and they're making it to where it's hard to fix what you want, and you and me both want fixed. And I'm like, get out of the freaking way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's really two issues now. One is we have to stop emitting so much carbon, which we can absolutely do with renewable power and get more freedom from the grid and all that with panels, energy storage, and all that stuff's available now. It's getting cheaper all the time. But then now there's too much there. We can't just cut off the flow now into the atmosphere. We have to start drawing it back out. And that's where small companies are coming into play and figuring out ways to do it and make money at it and all that
stuff. Hey, man, you make money at it, rock and roll. You know, because there's the thing is carbon monoxide is so inert. I mean, it's hard to do that. And I think, but carbon dioxide is what they're talking about, and that's probably not as bad. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, the energy, what are you going to make out of it? I don't know, something. You know, are you going to make my carbon nano shield if I get the bag of the helium of my airship? Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And it's not going to be a government contract that's going to decide, even though they'll take credit for it. But the... So I'm Michael. I'm glad you're there. Where do people find you? I got michaelbelfore.com and robotlotus.com. Is that the best places to get you?
michaelbelfore.com. I'm phasing out Robot Lotus. I wanted to scale up my writing business and found that people want to hire me. They don't want to hire somebody that I hired. So, I can serve people better and faster just, you know, from where I'm at michaelbelfiore.com. So go there.
B-E-L-F-I-O-R-E. Michael Belfiore. Yeah. And, you get all his goodies there. Pay attention. Here it comes.
It's the story.
There we go. Thank you, Michael. Yeah, man, 19. We're going to have to do this more regular. It's going to get fast.
That's right.
And it's all of a sudden, hey, they launched this Israeli, is it the Israeli government or is it a private company, a university? Who's doing it?
Private company. Space IL.
And they're going to go, you know what? God gave us a freaking permit. We're going to the moon. Get over it.
That's right.
You know? And
yeah, it's going to be really cool. I mean, just the idea, once that ice is broken, there are other companies still working, Astrobotic and Moon Express. And, you know, these guys are still chugging along. But once somebody actually does it, it's going to be like, okay. We're serious now. We got to do this.
Yeah, I know what I'm going to do. I mean, first time we're already talking about it, doing it. We can get, even with a vector launch, if you have ion propulsion in it, eventually you can get it. It may take a while, but you can get it to go and it crashed on the moon. Okay, because they can go low Earth orbit and eventually get in geosynchronous, and you know, if you got, you know, enough thrust and you know, got enough time. So I'm just going, these little ion thrust. I go, I've got time. You know, it takes a couple of years, and it crashes on the moon with a public QR code to everybody funds, and then to get the private code to get the money, you go get it, and there's your race right there. Boom, done.
Sponsored
by Pirates With, you know? So I So it's we're gonna have some fun. I'm seeing that, but it's gonna get the economic stuff. All this is gonna get bad. How was the government shutdown that I don't pay any attention to? But it's been since they stopped innovation in one area. At least Elon was able to bring the boys over to start putting his Starliner together.
Yeah, no, keeping on going. That's the good thing. That's the good part. He can keep going. Right?
Are you going for any of the, do you ever go to these things? Are you going to go see the launch? Cause we didn't even talk about, Blue Origin or, Spaceship 14 or whatever.
Spaceship 2 and Virgin Galactic. Those guys are going to take off this year. It looks like, I mean, they've already done test flights now. It's interesting though. You remember the XPRIZE, which by the way, you remember it's 15-year anniversary this year, right?
Really?
Of the XPRIZE win. Yeah, the first flight by Mike Melville, and then the next two XPRIZE flights.
I remember. I was there.
15 years ago now. So they're going to, the XPRIZE is going to do some kind of commemoration of that. I've been talking to Brian Binney. Remember the pilot who won, actually did that second flight. He's working on a memoir, and, you know, that's going to be cool.
Yeah, no, Binney was definitely... he's one of you guys, man. He's America and flag and salute and, you know, only in America and NASA. You know, he's definitely a conversation. I go, yeah, okay. But, you know, he's going to be promoted heavily because he's promoting, you know, the Stars and Stripes. And that's you know, that's going to get a lot of attention. And that's one thing I can understand. Someone in your position, if you were to go, yeah, freaking government agency are being paid, and you're done. You know, so
well, you know, I started out with that thinking, and of course, Spaceship One, Government Zero, and all that. The thing is, though, nobody has still enough money to really be an anchor tenant for these orbital rides. So that once they switched over to commercial services for the space station, I started drinking a little bit of NASA Kool-Aid. Like, well, there's a market now. It's a government market, but it's still, you know, that's how airmail got started. That's how Charles.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, but it's always on. they control the monopoly. If they just get out of the way, and I don't need it. All right, don't hurt anybody. Peace out.
Yeah,
you know, you're responsible for when you drop it on a city. Don't do that. You know, and
that was the argument for the space B thing. You know, if they couldn't track the things because they're too small, then it might be a danger to other stuff up there.
You know, I'm saving it, man. All right, I got to get to my next guest. We look forward to, you know, probably, you know, right after the Israeli thing goes and you know, kind of got a week or two to digest that, let's talk about it. How about that?
All right, sounds good.
All right, we'll do that. Great. Thanks, Michael.
Great talking.
You
Thanks,
too, buddy.
Both of you guys.
Bye.